Tēnā rakoutou katoa e te iwi hakorongo mai nei kato tātou tāonga te reo irirangi o te hiko tika. Iwa tikau mawhitu ira tahi te iarere. Ai runga te waia kōrero ko ahorangi tūhono Mike Lee. Waipapa taumatarau ki te kōrero e pāna ki tēnei kaupapa. Ko te tāmokotia o te whānau karauna. No reira me tāre ake tātou ki aia. Tēnā koe, Mike.
Kia ora koutou.
Yeah, appreciate you joining us today to have a little bit of a kōrero about the royal family's branding strategy and where to from here. But firstly, let's start off with you able to share with our listeners a little bit more about who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, ko Michael Shewai Lee, ara ko Pai Tasiti Lee, hoki a ingoa, ko ahauhe a harangi ke he manga, to hoko hoko nei e tukura whakatairanga. So I'm an associate professor of marketing at the University of Auckland Business School.
Ai, rawe rawa atu, ahakoa katahi anō tērā wiki Māori, ko Oti, ko rongo tonu ana te reo e rere ana, no reira mihi kauna ki a koe, Mike. Giving us a little bit more of a kōrero about what this actually means, the royal family's branding strategy, can you share with us?
Yeah, so the aristocracy is, they're the first celebrities in the world, and, you know, celebrities are a brand in their own right, and so the royal family is very much a brand as well, and they're, you know, kept, I guess, there by the public goodwill and a willingness to fund their income and their way of life as cultural ambassadors for the UK and by extension the Commonwealth. So really, they're kind of like they're not dissimilar to a celebrity endorser that you might see for, you know, multinationals like Nike or Apple or whatever it might be. So they very much are a brand, and the royal family has, as a bundle of meaning, certain things associated to them, you know, whether it be a way of life or the fancy things that they do, the way they carry themselves, the pomp and circumstance that surrounds them. So it's all part of the branding. And now they're moving into sort of this new era because they're the original CEO of the brand, I guess the Queen, has passed on. And now her son is taking over that helm as kind of the new CEO of this brand.
Yeah, there has been lots of discussion about the new changes that will soon develop, even right down to the branding of our money in New Zealand and everywhere else that may have the Queen on there and the changes that will be happening. But you're really talking about their behaviour and the way that they hold themselves. So in saying that, what really has it been like while the Queen was still alive? Are you able to share a little bit more about that and maybe some changes that we may expect?
So, you know, the Queen's been around for a very long time. It's one, you know, the longest reigning monarch in British history. So, her brand was very much about, you know, the keep calm and carry on, right? That was throughout the, you know, World War II. They used that, the sort of staunchness, the poise, the dignity, just, you know, keep calm and carry on was kind of the whole thing about that brand. And so now we're moving into a new era where it's, you know, her son's taking over. He's always been quite vocal about, you know, environmental sustainability. So more of the, I guess, almost the social outreach side of things, even though he's very much been in the shadow of, you know, the brand of first his late wife, Princess Diana, and then more recently the brand of his sons, you know, Prince William, so William and Kate, and then more recently Harry and Meghan. So he's kind of been in the shadows a little bit, probably by design as well. He doesn't strike me as a person that's actively seeking the limelight, but now he's in a position where all heads are turned towards him, and where will he take the royal family brand? And so I think it's an opportunity to carve out, you know, either a form of leadership or a positioning of the brand that's different from what his mother was able to bring, or what his mother represented, I guess, to the Commonwealth and the rest of the world. And so it will be very interesting to see where he takes it. And I think, given the where we are in terms of current society and climate change and social issues, he might be in a really good position to be a little bit more vocal about those things. Whereas, you know, his mother, the Queen, was not that outspoken. If you think about it, she was just kind of someone that was always there. So a real sense of stability and dignity that came with the way she portrayed that role, the role of the monarch, But maybe looking for him now, something a little bit more active, a little bit more sort of outreachy.
Well, we have much written about the royal family, the history prior to Queen Elizabeth II, and also coming into the era of Prince Charles and Princess Diana, a lot more of a move away from royal bloodlines, and there has been discussions around that right down to Prince Harry and Prince William. Are you able to give a little bit more of a quarter about how that has affected, I suppose, as you're saying, the branding strategy of the royal family over the years?
Yeah, because they're essentially funded by the goodwill of the public, so they need to continually sort of remain relevant to the public. And so bringing in, if you want to call it, you know, new bloodlines or people that are a little bit more approachable, personable to the public has been helpful. Making, you know, so instead of standing apart from society, which has very much been the case in previous aristocracies where, you know, people were seen as sort of unreachable, unattainable, you know, that upper class, the upper crust of society, and everyone else was kind of like a pleb. They've really, you know, through the two sons, have kind of made their royal family much more approachable. And I guess Princess Diana was the first person to have done that. Before then, the royal family was seen as very sort of uppity and standoffish and not in touch with the public. And Princess Diana, because she was so loved, probably because of her sort of interaction with the public, with common folk, with normal people. And so her sons have carried on that tradition by, I guess, you know, marrying people that aren't from a royal line. And so they've kept that sort of relevance to society. But now the ball's back in King Charles's court, and he could be potentially seen as maybe a bit more sort of old-fashioned going back that way. I mean, he is progressive in the sense that he, you know, they had the divorce with Princess Diana and then he married the queen consort and Camilla, his first true love. And so there's probably sort of a bit of a question mark as to where he will take the royal family. Will it be to increase that sort of level of relevance and contact with the common folk? Or will it, you know, take a step backwards? Hopefully not, and become sort of that old-fashioned sort of conservative style of aristocracy that that, you know, has not been around for several decades now. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see where he goes. But no royal family has really kind of, you know, talked about stuff that's really contemporary and relevant to the common folk, such as climate change and poverty and social justice and all those sorts of things. And I think he genuinely comes, you know, he has an interest in those areas, his work with the impoverished and his focus on the environment. So I think that would be a really good direction for the brand to go.
And that has been a large discussion point for no doubt everybody around the world, but also the relationship that the royal family will continue to have with Aotearoa as well, as we have seen many of our people go over there, including Kingi Tuheitia, Tipune funerals, and a number of our leaders from Aotearoa who went over, and some of them waited in line for over 12 hours, 11 hours to join the queue and go and pay their respects. What are some of the focus points specifically to Aotearoa do you think that may be attractive or remain, as there has been also discussions, what do we do now? Should we consider becoming a republic or remain a democracy?
Yeah. So those questions of, you know, I guess the public appetite for whether we remain, whether we maintain them as our monarch or you know, the sovereign. I think those are the questions that they will be looking forward to solidify as a royal family to maintain sort of that link to the Commonwealth and to show, I guess, that there is still value in being part of a wider network beyond becoming, you know, our own republic. Because, as you say, there are sort of these added benefits of our tangata being able to go over there and to experience a wider world and to be connected to a network of other peoples within the Commonwealth. And I guess part of the royal family, the next step that they will do, but in with King Charles in particular, is to go around and press the flesh a little bit more. And so I don't think, you know, it'll be too surprising to see him over here and then in Australia and then coming to Canada and all those places and the rest of the Commonwealth on sort of a world tour just to reestablish, you know, his brand in our minds and in our people's sort of willingness to keep them around to a large part is what it is.
Yeah, we faced a lot of that same conversations and kōrero that was coming out with the change of the kingitanga over here from a long reign of his mother, then along come Kingi Tuheitia. But no further questions from myself. I am interested in seeing a little bit more around the royal family's branding strategy and what we may expect to see from the royal family. I'm sure the whole world is. But any final kōrero, Professor Lee, in regards to your thoughts on what we may see, but also what it means, the royal family's branding strategy for Aotearoa?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I think what the world's ready for and what we'd like to see is just a more progressive and open dialogue from the aristocracy. I think, and you've seen this sort of happen with the Catholic Church as well, where they've realized they need to maintain relevance with the public, and so they need to become a little sort of strike that balance between still remaining, you know, true and genuine, authentic to their heritage, but also moving with the times and being a little bit more contemporary. And so it'd be great to see sort of, you know, more discussion and acknowledgement of, you know, the relationship, that sort of tricky relationship between the crown and colonization, and being able to have, you know, that conversation about, you know, we did back then wasn't great. It was pretty bad, actually. But, you know, we still value the relationships and, you know, hopefully we can move forward and acknowledge the stuff that we got wrong, but to also give opportunities to everyone to remain all part of the same network and the same whānau. So that would be really awesome, I think. And, you know, he might be the person to start that.
Again, thank you for joining us and sharing this kōrero. I know it will be a busy time for many of you as we're coming to the tail end of 2022. So again, he tino mihi atu kia koe I tēnei wā, Professor Mike Lee. Nō reira, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, ni mihi nui.
Ai, ko Ahorangi Tūhono, Mike Lee, tērā, mai Waipapa Taumatarau, te whare wānanga o Tāmiki Makaurau, me wene o ngā kōrero e pānaki, te tū o te karauna I tēnei wā ai, kua hinga atu, iri hāpiti te tuarua, kā tū te kingi, tiare te tuatoru no reira. Ai, me pēhia rā te tuāhuatanga, te kitenga o te whānau I tēnei wā. Ka panoni anō, kaha rā nei, ka hoki atu ki ngā wā o mua, koia rā ngā tino pāta I tēnei wā. No reira, mā te wā kakite. No reira, hakorongo tonu mai ki tō tātou taonga, te reo irirangi o te hiko te ika, iwa te kaumāwhitu iratahi te iarere.